This week's mailbag comes to us from Jennifer from email. Hello, Lisa and team. I wanted to share my story. I recently started using the Sunday basket in September. The last week in September, I decided to do the basket for the rest of the month because there were only 2 days left in September for the following week. What I didn't know was that on September 25th, about 1 in the morning, we were going to receive a call that my mother-in-law had been rushed to the emergency room. Unfortunately, she passed away from an aortic aneurysm, something that we didn't know she had. The thing was, in all the stress of dealing with her passing away unexpectedly, planning the funeral, and having people in my house constantly, was that I knew that everything else was under control. We celebrated her life on September 30th. It was such a blessing to know that things were taken care of and that I could take the time with our family and do the things I needed to do during that stretch. I just wanted to thank you for creating the Sunday basket and sharing it with us. Had I not had one in place, the stress would have been so much worse. Thank you again.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I am going to push record on this podcast series before I chicken out. Oh my goodness. This March podcast series is going to be very vulnerable for me. I'm going to share a lot. And in what I share, I'm hoping that you will see your place in the world differently as I do. In February, we really dove into what makes you uniquely you. Things that are not outside of your control, like they're baked into your DNA. They're the way you think, the way you feel, the way you process the world. And oh my goodness, like everything came together, the YouTube videos, the Throwback Thursday podcast, the podcast that I produced for you. I don't know if I'll get things to line up that closely again in the near future, but ultimately, this is what I would love for Organized 365 to be, that all of the messaging on all of our platforms really help you dive into a topic. So I just want to take a minute and review what we did in February, and then we'll dive into March. Maybe I'm stalling, but you know, we're going to do it. Let's talk about the book reviews on YouTube. I am loving reviewing books on YouTube. Feel free to send me suggestions. People already have. My Amazon cart is full and I keep buying more and more books. But in February, we dove into 4 books that really are about what makes you uniquely you. The first one was Michael Bruce, The Power of When, which is your chronotype. Are you a morning person, an afternoon, an evening person? I'm loving all the DMs and all the comments that you're sharing on social media about how this is really helping you manage your energy level and get more done. Next, we dove into What is Your Fascination Advantage? Like, why does everybody listen when E.F. Hutton speaks? What is it about you that makes you uniquely you? Which is Sally Hogshead's book, How the World Sees You. Then we talked about the 4 tendencies, which I've mentioned many times, from Gretchen Rubin. I've also interviewed her on the podcast. It's more about, are you more held accountable for goals that are externally imposed on you or internally created by you? It's such an interesting way to look at what actually helps you get stuff done. And then the last book in that series, the last Monday of the month, I always interview a female founder, someone who has created a business out of nothing that was a female. And this time it was Mother's Work by Rebecca Mathis. She started a professional line of clothing for women who were still in the corporate workplace when they were pregnant. Those kinds of clothes did not exist before she created them. Then on the podcast, I introduced this whole concept of going deep on yourself in February, being very selfish and just focusing on you and what makes you uniquely you. We talked about what kind of a bug are you, which is Cass's clutter bugs, figuring out what your organizational bug type was. Super fun. We had the Organized 365 team do that as well. And then we dove into Cloverleaf, which you'll be hearing more about this year, and how you can figure out how your personalities interact with your family's personalities, interact with your corporation's personalities, or your school, or wherever you work, or do your passion projects. And finally, we ended with Courtney Carver's new book, Project 333, where I realized I don't want a minimalist closet. That's basically what I realized at the end of that interview. And that's okay. I mean, getting ideas, learning about different ways of doing things. You know, I always thought that maybe eventually I would become a minimalist. And the more that I research and interview people who are truly minimalists, I realize it's not me. Like, I'm not a maximalist. I'm not a minimalist. I guess I'm average. I don't know. I like my stuff. I love the concept of minimalism, and I do it in some areas of my life, but clothes are becoming a passion project for mine, so I'm just going to expand it. Then in our Thursday throwback podcasts, I tried to pick out podcasts over the last 5 years that really spoke to not what makes you uniquely you, but how do you process through when the going gets tough? When life throws those unexpected curveballs at you, then what? So we dove into ADHD. How does ADHD impact organization? And FYI, we're all a little bit ADHD. I mean, it's your executive functioning. Nobody has perfect executive functioning. So when you listen to how I explain the ADHD executive functioning tendencies and what happens inside of the home with each one of those, really helps you set up better systems and habits that just support the way your brain works. Then we went into what to save when a loved one passes. So when your grandparents pass away, when your parents pass away, when someone close to you passes away, often you are asked, what do you want? Is there something that you want? And there are all kinds of emotions that come up when you're asked that question, like, how could I ever take anything? This person should still be here. I shouldn't have the opportunity to have this thing. What I really want is expensive, and I don't know how to ask for the thing that's expensive. It seems ridiculous. This person was such a big person in my life, and all I want is the button jar. Like, it seems like I should want something more financially significant because the person was so close to me. You know what I mean? So we unpack all that in that one. Then I told you my depression story. I know, I seem like Tigger, I seem really happy and peppy, and I am, but there is a period of my life where I wasn't. And I tell you all about my depression story. And then we dove into when organizing is hard, like with chronic illness. How do you get organized, have energy, when you just flat out don't have as much energy as everyone else around you? We dove into you, your uniqueness of you that would be you no matter where we put you, anywhere in the world, at any time in the world. And in March, I want to talk about the things that we don't have control over, the things that we can't change even if we want to change them, or if we change them, they're going to be very, very difficult to change. And this is going to be on the podcast only. So this won't also correlate with our past Thursday throwbacks or on the YouTube channel if you're looking for them there. So I want to start. Oh, gosh. I want to stop recording this podcast. I want to start with some podcast reviews. And they are not the flattering podcast reviews. Now, when you have hundreds of podcast reviews, the majority of them are 5-star and they're like, oh my gosh, we love Lisa. And then you have some of these that I'm going to read you that I'm shaking inside. I'm like, oh, they don't like me. They don't want to listen to my podcast anymore. Like, they hurt. Like, when you send a review that's not positive, it hurts. And obviously it's not you because these people are no longer listening. But I want to address these because this is not something I can control. Like, not everyone is going to like Lisa. Not everyone, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just not going to resonate with everyone. So let me read the podcast reviews, and then I'll tell you a couple of stories, which is what the podcast reviews don't like. So, a little bit 1950s housewife. Some decent ideas, but it's awfully sexist. Always talking to the audience and their husbands. Ha ha. Dudes can organize too. Too much family stories. At the beginning, it was interesting, but it turned into her telling everyone about her family. This woman needs a friend to talk to. And not for me right now. I like the idea of organization podcasts, but it seems like Lisa favors the stay-at-home mom types in her messaging. Okay, still listening? Are you still listening? It is true. Like, these These are true. These are true things about me. And I want to unpack these in this first podcast, and then I'll tell you how we're going to get even more controversial going into March. So a few weeks ago, I went to lunch with somebody at a local mall that we have here locally. And she's an Organized 365 member who has become a friend. And she spent the entire lunch, like, I'm trying to ask her about her life and have a conversation with her. And she's like, yeah. She gets out her index cards and she has got things to tell me. She wants to share product ideas and marketing ideas and traveling tips and help me grow Organized 365 because she sees the potential of what is going on. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, someone inside of the audience that I have now met personally, and I want to pour into her, and all she could do is figure out how do we grow Organized 365 bigger, faster, better. There's more things that I don't even know that I need to be reaching. Like, I left that lunch just thinking, wow, like, this person is so busy and so successful and so passionate in so many areas, and she carved out this time for me, and I thought I was giving to her, and she was just pouring into me, and then off she went to the next thing. She's like, when can we schedule the next lunch? I'm like, whenever you're available, like, whenever you want. As I was leaving that lunch, same mall, I don't go to the mall very often, I don't leave my house very often, I went into a store, and I'd gone into this store over the weekend, and I bought something. And 3 years ago, the manager there and I had had a conversation about doing like a book tour when the Mindset of Organization book came out. And she was interested in it, and the corporate powers that be were not interested in it. And I had walked in this store over the weekend, 3 years later, and she said, Lisa, I was just listening to you today. And I was like, hi. And I remembered her because, oh my gosh, I don't work with very many brands. So, I mean, whenever a brand wants to work with me, like, I remember who they are. So here I'm walking into a store on a Sunday afternoon, and the store manager, the store is full, by the way. The store manager stops, looks at me and goes, Lisa. And everybody in the store, like, I have a friend that shops at this store all the time. She goes, Lisa, do you know how much money I spend at that store? No one's ever said hi to me, ever. Like, no one ever remembers my name. You go in there 3 years later and they remember who you are. And so anyway, I bought a thing. So after this lunch, I went into the same store and I was just, you know, like, browsing because I had a little bit of time before I left. Store manager comes over and she's like, oh, I was just listening to this podcast. And then she proceeds to tell me for like 5 minutes all about her family. I know you're listening. And she stops. She goes, oh my gosh, like, is this boring for you? Like, I cannot believe I just told you all these personal things about my family. And I said, no, I think it's totally normal. And she said, you think it's totally normal? I'm like, well, yeah, because you listen to the podcast, you already know everything about me. So I just want to know everything about you. So I just figure we're picking up where I left off in the podcast, where you thought we weren't in a conversation, and we were in a conversation. As I left this store, I'm on my way out to the car, so I'm walking through the mall, and this woman and her husband stop me, and they go, Lisa, I just wanted to let you know, I love your podcast. And I'm now like a deer in headlights. You guys, I'm like, wow, I should get out of my bedroom more often and go out in public, because apparently people in public have heard of Organized 365, and I placed who she was, and I was like, oh my gosh, we should get together, we should do blah, blah, blah. I looked at her husband, he goes, oh, this happens all the time, and they walked away. And I sat in the car, and I thought, you know, you're listening on this podcast, and I've said this before, but I want you to know it is true. You think I don't know who you are. I feel like I do. When I meet you at Embrace, if I meet you at a paper organizing retreat, when you send in an email, when you sign up for the certification program, and I see your name, and I've seen it on Facebook, or you send me an Instagram DM, I know who you are. I don't always remember an email you sent me is related to an Instagram DM is related to when I met you at Embrace. I don't always put those puzzle pieces together until I've met you a couple of times, but I do know you. Like, Organized 365 is growing, but it's not so big that I don't know who you are. So I do feel like we're having a conversation. Like, this person who says, this woman just needs a friend to talk to, you're my friend. I'm like, right. Exactly. We are having a conversation. You may be talking back to me. Can't hear it unless we're actually in person together, which is getting more and more complicated. But you know what I mean? I hear it when you reply back on Facebook. I hear it when you reply in the Instagram comments, in the Instagram DM. Like, it is a conversation. We're having a conversation. However, I have a you know, the person that says, dudes can organize too. I'm not a dude. I say I'm not a minority, but I'm a woman, and a parent that is a minority, but I'm white, so I'm not a racial minority. Okay, here's where I'm like, oh, great, Lisa, you don't know the politically correct terms. You're going to talk. This is going to go on a podcast. This could be bad for you. Okay, I'm going to tell you another story because it's just what I do. My favorite movie growing up in the 80s was The Secret of My Success. Michael J. Fox, heartthrob, oh my gosh. Greg thinks it was Tom Cruise. It was not. It was Michael J. Fox. That is who was my heartthrob. When mom took us to Washington, D.C., there was a cardboard cutout of Michael J. Fox, and I got my picture taken with him with a Polaroid. I have got to go find this picture for you guys. Hilarious. And I was in love with the cardboard cutout. Like, I just liked Michael J. Fox. I liked all of his movies, everything that he did. And his movie, Secret of My Success, which I've since gone back and watched recently, maybe not so, well, definitely not politically correct. Maybe should have had a higher rating. Anyways, in the beginning of that movie, he's moving from Kansas to New York City. This is not going to ruin the movie. This all happens within the first 10 minutes. And he's supposed to go there for a job that he's gotten out of college. And he gets there and they are immediately downsized because this is the 1980s and corporate corruption and whatever. So they've had a hostile corporate takeover and his job is gone. He has no job. Now he's in New York with no job. So he goes and he starts interviewing. And in the first interview he has, they say, well, you don't have any experience. He goes, I went to college. They're like, yeah, but we need experience. And he says, but I mean, I have college experience. They go, well, we need real world experience. And he says, well, then what did I go to college for? And they said, well, you had fun, didn't you? So then he goes to the next interview, and he ends up in this final interview. And the woman says, well, what I'm so impressed with, because this is the 80s, you guys, there was no like internet then. Nobody could check this stuff. And they said, what I am impressed with is you have so much experience, like president of this, vice president of that. And he just sits back. He goes, well, I knew, you know, that if I just went to college and didn't gain real world life experience, that I wouldn't be hireable. She's like, yeah, it's just amazing. Except he goes, no, are you going to say that I have too much experience? She said, no, you're perfect for the job. But he goes, no, but like, I could be older, I could be younger, I could be taller, I could be shorter. And she says, can you be a minority woman? He walks out, he doesn't get the interview. And that's how I feel like when I talk to different people about Organize 365, they say, you need to change your coloring. Like, it shouldn't be so pink. It shouldn't be so girly. You need to appeal to men. You need to appeal to millennials. You need to focus on decluttering. You need to focus on minimalism. You need to, and I just say, no. I like pink. I'm a woman. The male brain is different than the female brain. I haven't figured out how to get men to organize yet. Men aren't as disorganized as women are at home because up until now, they have not been in the home, you know, and responsible for the majority of household tasks. I know it's changing. I also know that 90% of the people struggling with the home-related problem are still women. That's where the big problem is right now, it's a problem. It's a problem if your house is disorganized and you don't like it. It's a problem. I am a middle-aged, white woman who is a parent of privilege from Ohio. As I say that, I hear some of you saying, oh my gosh, like she's white. I am white. I am pasty white. I am so white that when I would fly to see my dad in California, when we used to do that, when he was still alive, we would get off the airplane and he would say to my husband and I, yes, I have a husband. He's here. Like, I'm not going to say I don't have a husband and children. I try to be as focused on people who are single or people who are married without children or, you know, all the things. I try to be so cognizant in everything I say and do, but I am a middle-aged white married woman with kids. It's just who I am. We'd get off the airplane and dad would give us pool towels with Casper the Ghost on it because we were Caspers. When you got off the airplane, you were Casper the Ghost until you got your tan because we're white people. Like, my friend is so white, I call her translucent because they're all Irish. I'm like, you're just translucent. Like they don't even tan. At least I could get a tan. So we would be Caspers and you would have to use the Casper the Ghost towel until you got tan enough that you would get a different towel. So I'm a Casper, okay? or my dad had so many words for it. He'd be like, what have you been doing? Painting closets? Because we're white. We are white people. So I say that because I can't change my ethnicity. And you can't change your ethnicity either. I mean, you could change if you're married and have children until it happens, and then you have them. I can't change how old I am. I'm going to be 48 this month. I am middle-aged. Some people 48 don't call that middle-aged. I'm looking at the spectrum of life. I plan to be 100. That's the middle. I was a math teacher. This is the mean, the median, the mode. This is going to be everything if I end up being 100. It's all of those numbers that are in the middle. I am a woman of privilege. I am a fourth generation female college graduate. Not many people can say that. That means that my family had money to devote to education for multiple generations and the ability to send people to school that didn't work while they were in school because you didn't work when you were in college back in the day. That's just how it was. I can't change that. Now, can I be sensitive to it? Absolutely. I try to be sensitive to it every single day. Can I try to broaden my horizons? Absolutely. I talk to people on different continents every single day through Voxer. Like, I have lots of friends that are lots of different ages and different family makeups and different ethnicities that I talk to on a daily basis. Like, in my top five, two of them are not middle-aged white people living in Ohio. So I am cognizant of it. But I cannot change it. And you can't change it either. So we need to start recognizing where our cognitive bias comes from and how we can then change that to be others focused. One of the things that I find to be most challenging specifically for me is that because you, the Organized 365 audience, are literally awake 24/7. Some of you are in Australia, and then it goes to England, and then it goes to the United States, and they, you know, and it's all over. And there are people all over the world. We get requests from all non-English speaking countries also, like, can we ship there? Can we translate things into other languages? And I just, the possibilities for growth of any company in today's day and age are mind-boggling. And in order to maintain growing Organized 365 in somewhat of an semblance of order, I am still going deep on the woman, primarily the American woman, and then the English-speaking woman, and then we will move beyond that. And I'm hitting all generations. I'm hitting multiple continents. One of the things that we need to do is, do you realize in Australia, it's winter here, it's summer there? Like, if we could just take a week and stop and flip our planner for them, even though we don't ship our planner to Australia. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're in the 100 days and you're in Australia, I am constantly talking about things that are 180 days away. Like, your getting ready for school is at a different time than our getting ready for school. That's something that I would like to address. And that's just from the fact that I am in America versus you're in a different country. And the possibilities and the amount of things that are variables in a business today are exponential. And you listening to the podcast are thinking, yes, but I XYZ, and I'm trying. I am so trying. So I'm going to leave you with this one thought. And then in this podcast series, I'm going to talk about here's what we're going to cover. We're going to cover what generation you're from. We're going to cover the religion that you were born into. And we're going to cover family size, the family size you were born into and the family size that you currently have today, and how those things shape your organizational discussions, decisions, how you view Organized 365, how you view the world. And when I think about what we're talking about today, which is the race that we are, I think a lot about the book, The Snowball, by Warren Buffett, which is Warren Buffett's story. It's not by him, but it's his story. It's 25 hours on audio. Highly recommend it. Love it. I find it so interesting. I did not know this because Warren Buffett is such a prominent Democrat. He was actually born into a Republican family. Like, his father was a congressman. Like, he was born into a Republican family. And over time, he changed and became a Democrat. So again, we're not talking about politics in Organized 365. And the political party you're born into may not be the political party that you stay with as you age, as you change. But one of the things he did say, and I love this, is, and many people have quoted it, He said, I won the ovarian lottery. Like, he was born in a white family of privilege in a time, and he was born a man. And at the time when he was born, if he had been born a woman, he would not have been able to do what he was able to do. And I feel like I also won the ovarian lottery. The ovarian lottery is, what family were you born into, and what time, and in what, like, to be a white woman who is 48 right now is very powerful. It's a very powerful thing. Although a lot of times I will think, even though a woman is considered a minority, I'm not a minority because I am white. And so sometimes I think, oh yeah, I am woman, hear me roar. And then other times I am made to feel that, yes, but you're white. So it doesn't count that you're a woman because you're a white woman. So you've always had privilege and other women have not. So there is a possibility, a tendency, sometimes I see women now, that women are starting to be able to make more choices, that women within women are then looking at this ethnicity piece and saying, yes, but you're this kind of a woman or that kind of woman, or, you know, and dividing. Let's not do that, ladies. Let's stick together. So when I think about, I am a white woman, I'm going to keep saying it because I'm not going to say race any other podcast. So what then makes Organize 365 different than anything else? With that cognitive bias in mind, how am I consciously growing a company that is not going to remain that? And when I think of the face of many organizational brands that I could think of the last 40 years, they are Martha Stewart, The Container Store, California Closets, and Marie Kondo. Those were the ones that first came to mind. And when I think of the first three, Martha Stewart, Container Store, California Closets, all the American companies, they are white, privileged. I mean, nobody's going into the Container Store that doesn't have money. Let me just tell you that. That is a for sure thing. No one has a California Closets in, you know, I mean, California Closets, custom closets are going in white, privileged homes. It's the majority of where that is the target market. That is the target market that they started out with. So when I look at the face of Organize 365, this is not Lisa Woodruff. This is Organize 365. Organization is something that is learnable. It is something that could be done 365 days a year, and that we could do it together. And the face of Organize 365 is the Sunday basket. And the Sunday basket is a movement. It is a movement for homeowners to take back control of their home through getting their kitchen counter paper, mail, actionable to-dos organized so that they could create a habit through this system that will give them 5 extra hours every single week that they can use to do what they were uniquely created to do. And the Sunday basket system originated with Lisa Woodruff and Organize 365, but it is being taken across the United States, Canada, now Australia, and I'm sure we will branch out beyond that through certified organizers that all look different than me, that all have different points of view than me, that live in different parts of the country, that live in different size houses, that have different ethnicities, that are different ages, that come from different economic circumstances, higher and lower than mine. It is a movement of you who are doing the Sunday basket and reclaiming that 5 hours and using that 5 hours for whatever you want to use it for. Like, that's what's so cool about the Sunday basket and the Organize 365 movement. It's not about selling Sunday baskets. It's about homeowners taking back the to-dos and the actionables in their house like you would in a corporation so that you can get that time to productively use it for whatever you were uniquely created to do. And then as people who get that concept become certified organizers, they become part of the face of Organize 365. And we have now over 100 certified organizers. Organize 365 has over 100 faces. I'm the one on the podcast. I'm the one publishing the book, but when you go to a workshop, I'm not the one leading the workshop. I'm not the one leading the retreat. I'm not the one on your local TV, and I'm not the one running your local book signing event. I'm going to show up and sign the books, but everyone there is coming from the community. We are a community movement. right now of almost all women, but eventually it will be men too. And it will be men, and it will be different ethnicities, and it will be different ages, as you inside of the community who have this message and this mission to also help others get organized, doing so with their paper outside of their home in this community aspect, and Organize 365 will look like you. All right, next week we're going to dive into another topic that you were born into, and then deciding if that's what you want to do going forward. And this is a lot of what I have done at Embrace. Here's where we were born. I can't change these things, but I can change my cultural relevance. I can change my cultural sensitivity. I can change my desire of how I spread my message, thinking what is best for all while still retaining that which is uniquely me.